talking. We're going talking today where things are popping. The Marion way, we're going to drop in on discussions of the day on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, we're going debating. We're going to debate very loud and we'll be laughing and floating high on a cloud. Phones are ringing from listeners all around on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, and we'll guess and goof and talk on Exchange. Read, debate, and think it's Exchange. Tune in, we're on. Turn on, I'm in. It's on today, the Exchange Club.
Hey, and away we go. It's a Getaway Friday here on WGH Talk. The Exchange Club is on the air, October 27th, 2023. Last Friday in the month of October, 15 minutes past the hour, and our theme song was sang, however you want to say it, by Marla Gibbs from the Jeffersons. That's who sang it. Bob had a question there. And we got Pastor Craig, we've got Bob, we've got Eric, we've got Matt Morgan in the studio here today. Full house, and we're going to try the pumpkin pizza, not pumpkin pie pizza. And we've also got the cookie pizza with Bigfoot, Bigfoot Sasquatch, however you want to say it, on the pizza there, on the cookie. I guess it would be the. Can you qualify that as a pizza?
It's flat and round.
Has dough in it.
So we've got that, and then we've also got
no cheese.
We've got the manila envelope. Manila envelope, which we don't know what's in there, but it has to do with big feet. And apparently a tip-off to this was the cookie. All right, so let's. What's in the envelope?
All right.
Take that mic over there. We want to hear the whole introduction here.
You know, for years you probably thought, I'm a one-trick pony, one book.
One book.
But the truth is, about, 12, 13 years ago, when I was a den leader with the Cub Scouts, the third grade scouts, they were bear scouts, and they had a, they had 20 things they had to do, 20 in order to earn their bear scout rank. And one of them was they had to keep a journal for 2 weeks. And was, I ain't keeping a journal, that's girly stuff. Well, you got the diary of a wimpy kid, Well, he's a wimpy kid, And I said, and there were other examples I gave at the time. We ain't keeping a journal. And I said, well, if you don't keep a journal, so I tricked him into keeping a journal. And I said, part of the other requirements were you had to learn about American folklore. You had to learn about, you had to do artwork. You had to learn about the library system. You had to learn about business and a couple other items. And so I tricked him into keeping a journal. I said, well, we're going to go on this imaginary camping trip. And each day I'm going to tell you, in like two sentences, what happened, and then you have to write in the journal how you experienced it, whatever happened. And then we're going to turn all these experiences, these journal entries, into a book. We'll illustrate it. You guys will do the illustrations as well, whatever you feel like. And, we'll get it into the Library of Congress. We'll get it into, we'll do the business end of publishing it and selling it. And so we work all the requirements up together into this thing, a journal, a book, which we called The Big Feats of Den 1.
Oh, The Big Feats of Den 1.
Because they were Den 1.
Well, look at this
and,
here.
I kind of wrote the intro and the exit, but then all of their entries are in between, as to what they wrote, and so I kind of edited it all together into the journal of how we went on a camping trip and we discovered Bigfoot.
Oh, now when was this book done?
Originally, what was our original publication date? 2009.
Now this would be, you would qualify this as a kid's book.
Basically, young adult, children's book. Not so much children, but young adult, I guess is the proper classification. But the bulk of it was written by third graders.
Oh, and, very nice.
And illustrated. I mean, they did all the illustrations in there, plus the main part of the front cover and everything. And so I tricked them into keeping a journal.
Now, did these kids get any royalties?
Well, you have to have sales to get royalties.
Oh, that is always one of those things.
We had enough sales that we used the money. We went all to a hockey game. And so that was the royalties at that point. And then the hardback edition went out of print. And it remained out of print for about, until just last, about 2 months ago, my son said, hey, I found a printer, you know, who works very cost effectively, and he was one of the co-authors on here, on the back cover there, and we can get the Big Feet printed again. And so, we worked at it, and we got this, what you're holding here, a new print of the book, and we get it out to the libraries again and everything. And that was our big sales. We were selling to libraries.
Well, we'll have to bring you on now to talk about the book sometime.
Yeah, maybe that'll be Thanksgiving.
Maybe that will be. We'll have plenty of time that morning, I'm sure. We'll start early that morning. This is very interesting.
Thanksgiving can be a foot-long turkey dog.
Yeah.
Actually, I forgot, because I think I told you at one point, you know, I brought back some alligator meat. We can make an alligator pizza for Thanksgiving.
Oh, alligator pizza. Doesn't that sound delicious? We'll get Glenn here for that one. This is very, very interesting. The Big Feats of Den 1, Bob Welsh,
and
the Scouts of Den 1.
Like I said, you know, I did the framework, but I wrote the intro to get into it because, you know, I think that was just beyond what they were thinking. And then I wrote the exit. But everything in between is pretty much theirs.
I love this. Well, thanks, Bob. And this is going to be re-released for the holiday season.
Yeah, it's out there. It's out there.
Well, we're going to talk about this before. We're going to do a whole hour on this, guaranteed. Because this is very, very... This looks like something that kids of all ages... I bet this would go popular now. Now that you have access to the internet, I bet you could sell them more than just libraries and things of that nature.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they all have dreams of hitting it rich in Disney.
You never know.
Making a movie out of it. Pixar.
You never know. Well, there's something I actually want to talk about here locally, but we're going to get to this within the next month. I like it. Pastor Craig, you going to read this?
Yeah, I am.
Matt?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. So you've got, here we go.
We're on
our way.
I have a couple thoughts of some people I want to pass that on to.
There you go, Bob. It's already moving. Now, I wanted to get everybody together. Not that we have everybody together here, but I wanted to go run through this here momentarily. Where are we? We're right in the middle of the show, but don't worry about it. Don't let that stop you.
Don't let that stop you at all.
So here's what we're going to do right now. We have something new here in Marion, and there are two questions I have regarding this. I guess it started 3 years ago, the Upper Crust Society. Now, this all started, Bob started this, basically based on what Tony Pacos does by autographing a hot dog bun. We decided we need something like that in Marion, in which people would autograph honest-to-goodness pizza crust, and then you shellac it, and there's a picture taken, and then plaques are given to the people who are in this. Now, so far, I was the first inducted person into this. Then last year, we did three to catch up, you know, make it a real... event. We got Mary Ellen Withrow, Buckeye Guy, and George Kasotis all went in this. So it's really a Marion-based thing. Now, obviously, Mary Ellen, George, and myself all were there because of Marion ties, being Marion people, either living here or born here. And Buckeye Guy went in for all his help with the radio station, so that was legitimate. So those are the qualifications for going in, and we do this at holiday time. Signing actually happens the day before Thanksgiving. That's when we do the signing. That's when we take the pictures that end up on the plaque. And then sometime in December, either at the fruitcake toss or the Christmas party, the plaque presentation happens, and that's how we do it. So this year, we're going to do some nominations here. And then the committee will take a look at the nominations, and we'll decide who's going to go in this year to the Upper Crust Society. And my only question on this before we start is, you have to autograph it. So, can we do posthumous people?
It's amazing how quickly things become tradition around here.
Doesn't take long. About 5 minutes and it's a tradition.
Can we do posthumous people?
Well, I was just thinking because there are some posthumous people that we could do in a very unique way, a.k.a. President Harding.
Well,
because President Harding, I know, and I can get him to get up out of the grave again and come on over here and autograph a pizza crust to us.
When you look at things like, say, you know, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, you know, and other Hall of Fames, is that at some point, you know, they will no longer honor the current people, but say, oh, so-and-so was an influencer. And so they pulled in some people into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame who influenced.
Well, can we do this?
And okay. So maybe we could get some influencers who are posthumous.
Well, here's what my theory on the posthumous thing. I'm going to come to Pastor Craig here in a second. My theory was we could do it the creative way, as in getting somebody to get up out of the grave and come over here. But some people are cremated and they can't do that. So, but President Harding could. But at this point, another thing we could do is we could do somebody posthumously and have a family member sign the crust and maybe write their name on it. Okay. Bob, what do you think about that? And then we're going to come to Pastor Craig.
I think that, you know, that they could stand in, you know, if they are...
I mean, we have to write their name. They could write their name on there and then sign their name under it.
POA or
something. Yeah. Or... DOA. DOA is really what that's all about.
Dead on arrival.
Dead on arrival.
Yeah, I don't know. So...
I'm still trying to figure out what
POA.
Power of attorney.
Oh, okay. So, Pastor Craig, what's your feeling on posthumous?
Well, yeah, what I was going to suggest... was, are you kind of sticking to the three people a year?
No. Well, see, we're not sold on that.
Okay.
Because last year,
that'll happen 1 year.
We think we might have overshot it last year by doing that. But then I thought if we could do posthumous, we could handle three,
well,
I think.
Well, what I was thinking was if you were going to do the three a year, then you should have two live people and one passed away person every year.
Dead.
So that every year you're having one person who's no longer with us, but would like to be remembered.
So let's take a vote.
It'd be like a dead person sandwich.
Let's do a vote here, just of the people, and this was not prepared this way. Matt, should we do posthumous people?
Yeah.
Yeah, one for yes. Bob?
I think we could stretch the rules of induction large enough to include a posthumous person.
We stretch the rules a little bit more every year. Eric?
It's like a good
person. Absolutely. When it comes to posthumous, it's better to see than be one. And quite frankly, I think you need to make the pizza, much like the state quarters, have their portrait in the pizza since you can't get it signed.
Well, we have to do something in the studio. I've also decided that's another part of it. No, two, because we've got this on the wall over here.
Now, we
don't need the...
It looks like it's curling.
We don't need the actual pizza crust that Bob has, but we need something, I don't know, to put name, because it should be displayed somewhere where people can come visit.
True.
So we got to do something with that part. Maybe fake pizza crusts, and we can just add to them every year.
Oh, that's what Tony Paco does. I mean, they got fake buns.
Yeah, but we can't take your crusts out of, or that are housed in your freezer there.
And I'd like to put them in your freezer, too, actually.
Would you? You don't want them anymore. Listen, some of these people might become posthumous before too long. You don't want to lose them.
Well, that I think is why we rushed
Pastor
in.
Craig?
Yes.
Okay, well, it's unanimous now, so posthumous people go in.
Was he answering the question, or was he just answering because you called Pastor Craig? Was that, yes, an affirmative vote, or was that just recognition that I'm here?
Yes.
Yes. So there you go. Both counts. So now the other question is, how many are we going to do this year? And we should get some nominations here, and then we'll take that into it. We're not going to vote on the people yet, but we'll take it into account and then see what we can do.
So you're thinking that maybe some listeners out there might want to, you know, phone in and say, hey, John Doe should be in.
Well, I don't know if we can include the listeners at this point,
no.
But I think this group, we could come up with some people, because we're not really sure on really what the qualification, because to get Buckeye Guy in, we had to say he did a lot for the radio station, so really what it's become...
He was on this morning.
Exactly. But I think clearly to start this off this year, we have to put Warren G. Harding. I mean, how can you not, if you're going to do posthumous, start with our most posthumous? And we can actually have Warren in the studio. I'll see what he's doing that morning, you know, but
yeah.
We can get him. All right. Does anybody else, now we need to get some live nominees and so on and so forth. So what do we got here? Because I figure five heads are better than one or two, because Bob and I have pretty well been steering this committee for a while. What do you think?
Well, I would nominate somebody who was very active in media for many, many years.
I know
years.
Where you're going.
Jeff Ruth.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that wasn't... You went a different place, but I'll take Jeff Ruth. Maybe Jeff Ruth. Why not? Okay. Are you writing these down, Bob, too?
Well, yeah.
Because we'll have to take him to the Society of Professional Upper Crust Society, the board, and
the board.
Check it out. Okay, who else do we got? Who else, dead or alive... Because we haven't decided yet that Warren G. Harding's going to be our dead, but it's looking pretty much that way, that he's going to be our dead inductee this year.
Well, I don't want to hog the microphone.
Well, go ahead, rip him out.
I was originally going to, for dead, I was going to nominate Charlie Evers.
That's where I thought you were going.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say Charlie from the pizza business.
Oh.
Boy, wouldn't that be it. We'd get his wife in here and talk to her about his dalliances with people at the society. Well, sure, Charlie Evers. We'll put him as a possibility. Okay, so well, we got to have more than just dead people, or else it's going to be very flat.
Well, you know, they're not going to talk a lot.
No, it's going to be a very short show. It's very short presentation.
Like Scott Shaver.
Scott Shaver, sure. He works at another radio station. Not much chance of that happening, but why not? We'll put him on there anyway. Well, Jeff Ruth works at another radio station, so you know what? It's all fun and games now. How about that vampire who was on the front page of the Marion Star?
No.
I mean, what?
You think we should bring her on in?
We can't even.
She's a star.
We can't even get a copy of the newspaper, let alone.
No, we got one. We got one. Thank God we got one. All right, we need some more live bodies here. Who do we got? You know, Marianne Michaels is still with us. Certainly, she's a broadcasting maven pioneer. I could see if that could happen. What do you think about Marianne Michaels?
I'll second that nomination.
I think Marianne's certainly qualified. It'd just be on her availability that particular day. So who else would be in this?
We could get Jack Kellogg.
Jack Kellogg, to me, is a huge, important. He's participated in the fruitcake toss, longest-serving mayor in Marion history. Jack Kellogg, to me, should be a shoo-in. There shouldn't even be a vote on Jack Kellogg.
He did win a fruitcake award last year at the toss.
Yes. Jack Kellogg, to me, is that's a solid bet.
I wonder if he could bring any cereal.
What about our outgoing mayor? nobody jumping up. No, not the outgoing mayor. Let's just scratch that. How about the auditor? Security for the auditor.
I was going to say, let me call Miranda and ask what she thinks about the
one. Let's see if we get Miranda in on this one.
Give her an honorary vote.
Well, he's the longest-serving mayor. He will now tie January 1st, the longest-serving mayor in Marion history. He has run for state office, and I think he's headed there again. Should we get him now? And these are not the people, by the way, just the nominee list. What do you think? Well, Mayor Schertzer?
He might need to come back a year from now just to get publicity for whatever he's running for at that point.
Right. Well, let's...
Vote for me for treasurer because I am now the upper crust man.
We've got Mayor Schertzer, but not saying that he's... See, to me, it's just a timing thing because he would be getting the award 1 month before he leaves office. It's just a timing thing with Mayor Schertzer. I don't know if we want to do two mayors in 1 year, though.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that all shakes out. Anybody from any, because it's all been entertainment, only political person we've had in so far was really Mary Ellen.
Yeah.
Now, who do we have? We definitely got, well, what about Madge Cooper? First Lady of Radio in this area on the posthumous list.
Absolutely.
So I think we got Madge Cooper to look at here. And we'll have a great list for next year now as well, compiling names.
Right, because everybody who doesn't make it this year will certainly be reconsidered next
year. Their names can be, and some of them might end up on the posthumous list next year if we don't get them in this year. I don't know how that year works.
If they die during the current year, can they be on both lists?
They might be able to. They'll fit right in. So now who have we omitted anybody? We've got Warren G. Harding, Jeff Ruth, Charlie Evers, Scott Shaver, Marianne Michaels, Mayor Jack Kellogg, Mayor Scott Schertzer, and Madge Cooper.
I think that's a pretty good list.
I'm just trying to think if there's anybody. Oh, well, he is a Marion boy. What about Weasel Boy? He certainly did some things in broadcasting. Ended up on WNCI. He just recently came back and did some shows with us.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he's going to get in, but...
He can be considered.
He is a Marion boy. Because our live end of this list is looking pretty low at this point.
Yeah.
It's looking very political at this point if we don't get some other live people in. And I'm trying to think of somebody else. Oh, it's too bad George Turoff's gone. Mm-hmm. Maybe for another year he can be considered for the posthumous list. Is there like a...
There's somebody who's a Marion person, but made it big somewhere else, but has been contributed for many, many years, and that's Bob Nunley.
Oh, Bob Nunley. Well, I certainly would consider Bob, absolutely. Bob Nunley. Well, and I think, just for purposes here, I think Ted Williams should be on the list. He's done a lot with us here at the radio station. He was just here a couple weeks ago.
The man with the golden voice.
Well, he does my intro every morning.
That's right.
Just for that alone, he should be considered.
I cannot believe he calls you every single morning to do that.
And he's not a morning person.
Dedication.
He's not a morning person at all. So we've got a pretty good list here now. On the posthumous side, we've got Warren G. Harding, Charlie Evers, Madge Cooper. Well, really, that's it. We got three. So, but only one posthumous a year, right?
Right. That's what I think.
I think you got to limit that.
Yeah, limit that. Now, on the alive side, we've got Jeff Ruth, Scott Shaver, Marianne Michaels, Jack Kellogg, Mayor Schertzer, Weasel Boy, Bob... I think you got a good group here. Now, how many of those are we going to pick? Knowing we're going to do one posthumous, how many live?
I think you should just do one of each year.
Well, I don't know, Bob. You have to handle this. You do all the heavy lifting.
Well, I'm crunching those numbers right now in my mind as you run the society.
You're crunching on pizza.
but apparently you would need to get these people, at least the living ones here. Or their stand-ins.
Yeah, we would have to get him here.
At some point.
Well, no, we did go to Mary Ellen last year because her leg was broken last year. So, I mean, if Bob could not come here, you could probably swing by where Bob is and get him to autograph the thing.
Or Tad or whoever. Or, yeah.
Yeah.
Swing by their place.
Show
up at their door one day with a sign this pizza crossing. What the hell's this for?
No. Weasel Boy's got to come. If Weasel Boy ends up on the list, he's got to come to the studio. So how many live?
At least one and one. You know, one live, one dead. Or one posthumous.
Okay, so one and one, but possibly two and one.
Two and one.
Okay, so
I do remember, I'm going to quote you here, I do remember when we did three last year, you thought that was a little much.
Well, it was a little much, but the problem was I had not decided on the posthumous thing.
Yeah.
Because I knew there's no way we can do three live every year for the duration. But... if we're going to do posthumous, there are a lot of posthumous people who could possibly...
a graveyard filled of them.
Oh, boy. They're just waiting to get over here.
Yeah.
Dying to get over here. So, I think we've got a good list this year. And honestly, looking at this list...
I say two and one.
Two and one?
Two and one.
So, my opinion, and you know, I'll lay it on the line here. My opinion would be, clearly, I think, not any disrespected to any of the other posthumous people on this list. But, I mean, I don't know how you don't start with Warren G. Harding. I mean, I just don't know in Marion, Ohio, how you don't. And also the fact that we can get Warren G. Harding to come in here, hopefully, helps that particular situation. So, on the posthumous list, I'm definitely thinking Warren Harding.
You know, I will agree with you on that because... We don't even have a statue of Warren G. Harding here in Maryland.
It's a travesty.
You drive through downtown Delaware, and what do they have in downtown Delaware? A statue of Rutherford B. Hayes.
Absolutely.
And of course.
Right.
That's right.
And, you know, Marion, we don't even have anything here. So.
And as I look down through this list, I certainly think, not that age is a representation of anything, but I certainly think Mayor Jack Kellogg, this would be his year. I mean, I don't know how you get around that particular one.
Yeah.
And he's also a huge collector of Warren G. Harding memorabilia, so that fits in a way.
Yeah.
But the third one...
get them while they're still alive.
Yeah, right? I think if we're going to do a third...
Hopefully they're not listening right now.
Yeah, they're not here for the voting process. This isn't exactly a secret ballot. I don't know. To me, the toss-up on the third, because we've got now somebody from the political arena, and Warren G. Harding was from the political arena.
We need
an entertainer. And to me, the two on this list that most would be closest to Marion would be either Weasel Boy or Marianne Michaels, in my opinion, who are still with us. And not that age is a representation of anything, Marianne would probably be. But I don't know if we can get Marianne here at this point,
well,
so
we'll
that's something we'll have to check out.
We'll go to her.
We'll go to Marianne. She should be honored. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
So
who wouldn't want to be on a pizza crust?
Now, what if we do want to do Weasel Boy? We'll decide if we want to cut him in or cut him out, just like a piece of pizza.
Slice him in or slice him out.
If we can get him in, because here's the problem.
We could have a standby crust.
Well, because here's what I'm worried about, Bob. Here's what I'm worried. Warren G. Harding, I think we can have in the studio that day. I think there's a good chance of that. Jack Kellogg, I don't have any worries about that day. Marianne, that's going to be an iffy one. So to have three people in the studio as we did last year, that's probably going to be a Weasel Boy area.
Well, like you said, we went to to see Mary Ellen Withrow because you know, she couldn't get around. And if Mary Ann is in a similar
situation
and the local here, I mean, you and I could jot over there at some point and get her signature.
And then that way we could still honor her, but also we could still have Weasel Boy, Mayor Kellogg, and Warren Harding in the studio that day. Mm-hmm. So we'd still be at, actually we'd be above last year's number.
Yeah.
Just when we thought we were going to decrease. Maybe we can just chop somebody off here. Is there any of these people who look like they could be dropped off the list? No, well, you know, it'll make the fruitcake toss an even bigger event.
If we did it that night of presentation,
that
people might even show up for other reasons than the toss of fruitcake.
Well, I think this is going to be the tentative list right now, but it could change. Listen, don't start dusting off your signing hand yet, people, because we're going to have to discuss this further. But that, I think it looks like a pretty good list right now.
Yeah, I think we'll go to the executive committee and discuss it and
see where that all shakes out in the end for the big holiday season coming up. So, you have any disagrees, agrees on this, Matt?
I mean, it's all good.
Do you know who all these people are?
I know who the majority of them are, yes.
Warren Harding, you know?
Yeah.
Mayor Kellogg?
Yep.
Weasel Boy?
Yep.
Never met him, but you know him.
I do, yeah.
Marianne Michaels?
I do not know Marianne Michaels.
Well, you should. Look her up.
Okay.
And she was a big contributor to the station for many, many years.
Is she on Wikipedia?
You know, I don't know if Marianne has made Wikipedia or not, but she's Channel 4, WMRN. She was with us for a long time. 30 years with the Marion City Schools. You know, good lady.
Certainly a lot of far less famous people are in Wikipedia, so why not her?
She should be.
Yeah.
She should be. I know she's online. I know that we've got videos of her up, and I know there are things that are out there on her and articles in the paper. I mean, she didn't exactly get the space that the vampire got, but, you know, who does? Let's talk about that for a minute, because we haven't heard about Pastor Craig's opinion. I don't even know if we've heard Bob's opinion on that on the air.
Do we have a top 10 list?
What, you don't want to get into the vampire? Oh, man. Everybody's talking about the vampire. We got to get that top 10 list, and you're right. This is getting away from us now. Let's see. Which one do we want to do today? Let's do, since we're talking food here today. Yeah, this is a better one to do. Let's do top 10 favorite Halloween candies. Top 10 favorite Halloween candies. Now, let's see if we can get the drum roll going here. And then we'll be in good shape for our top 10 list today. All right, here we are. Top 10 list from the home office in Columbus, Ohio. Today's top 10 list is top 10 favorite Halloween candies. All right, number 10, Twix. Number 10. Number 9, Tootsie Pops. Oh, I think that might end up higher. I think that might be higher. Number 8, Starburst. Very popular in recent years.
I put a lot of research into this.
Is this factual, Bob?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Number 7, M&M's. Okay.
Yeah.
Number 6, Nestle Crunch. Now, see, I have to disagree with that, because anytime you look in a candy basket, there's always Nestle Crunch left in the bottom.
After they didn't give them away, they're saving them.
They might buy them, but they're still in the bottom. Number 5, Hershey Kisses. Maybe. 4, Skittles. A fruity candy. Number 3, Snickers. Now, I would have guessed Snickers would have been number 1. That's a very, very popular candy bar.
It is. You'll see it, it's the most popular candy.
Just not the most popular candy. That's number true. 2, very strange, Sour Patch Kids.
Hey,
at number 2, I don't.
Well,
Bob, where did this come from?
It came from, you know, the sales out there.
There's
like
sales?
Sales. You know, people are out there buying them. Maybe just give them away. I don't know. But,
Above M&M's, above Tootsie Pops.
No way.
Above Snickers is Sour Patch Kids.
I disagree with the placement, but facts are facts.
Okay. And here we go. What you've been waiting for all the last 2 minutes. The number one favorite Halloween candy, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. There you go. Today's top 10 list.
People like them.
Now, where did this factual information come from?
The internet. Everything on the internet is true.
Oh, well, it must be true then. Well, that must be true. Peanut butter. I don't know. There's not even Butterfingers on the list. Oh, here we go. What do you got going on here, Bob?
Hold on, I hear
you. All right.
Now, what are the magic words at Halloween?
A trick or treat.
There you go.
Absolutely.
There you go.
Oh, well, thank you. A Butterfinger. Well, that's... No, thank goodness. At least there's a Butterfinger here somewhere today.
Yeah.
This is not on the list?
No. It was
No!
It was number 11.
It was number 11.
Number 11.
Oh, and candy corn. Oh, man. You can't get that now in the stores.
I know.
They've sold out candy corn.
Right after a sugar pumpkin.
I've heard if you put that with peanuts or something, it tastes like peanut brittle. I don't know. Payday. I don't know.
Paraffin and sugar.
No paydays on the list.
No.
Does anybody have anything to say about the vampire? Being on the front page of the paper really is what this is about. We're not talking about do you believe in vampires? Is that a good or bad thing? Being the lead story.
Did they take her picture at night?
You know, I don't. She's not a bad looking woman.
I heard you the first hour when you were talking about that, and why was that on the front page of the Marion Star?
I don't understand. I mean, really, and I'm trying to be very, very diplomatic in this. In the 150-year history of the Marion Star, I don't think there's ever been as stupid a story on the front page.
Even if this wasn't an election year, even if there wasn't a new Speaker of the House, even if there wasn't a war going on between Israel and Palestine,
Auditor has to resign the last week.
Even if that was, if there was nothing going on in the world, I would say, why do they have a vampire from Worcester on the front page of the
Marion? Above the fold.
Yeah.
And not even, it's just a profile of her. It's not even that she bit somebody or killed them or something.
Right.
It's nothing like that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
stupidest story in the history of the Marion Star on the front page.
And they wonder why they're going broke.
Yeah. Imagine that. What do you think, Bob?
Maybe we should do a top 10 list of the stupid stories in the Marion Star.
I don't think 10 would be long enough.
It's getting longer every day. Matt, what do you think? You're new age.
I think that newspapers are not going to last all that much longer in the long term overall.
With stories like that.
Yeah, really.
I think that obviously the organization itself might exist, but I think newspapers are going to not.
What do you think, Eric?
That's a real toss-up. I have no clue.
I mean, do you think that's Marion Star, President Harding's paper front page material?
If that's all there is?
I don't think that's all there was.
Well, maybe the reporter just doesn't get out much.
I don't even know where that reporter was from.
Or he has some kind of linkage to the vampire, and, you know, maybe he's trying to promote a girlfriend or something. I don't know.
Just because we want to stay local because of that story, let's stay local here, and I'm going to bring this up. We've talked an awful lot about the auditor this week, and we can go into that if you want, but I want to talk about campaign ads, and I want to talk about Ayers Ratliff's campaign ad, and again, I brought this up yesterday, and I'm going to bring it up again today, and again, Ayers can do whatever he wants. I'm not being judgmental of that. I'm just saying, is this the proper way to run a campaign on social media at this point? Because his campaign ad is keep Ratliff second ward city council with an incompetent city auditor. We need an experienced city councilman. Matt, is this the way to go?
I don't necessarily think so, no, but at the same time, I don't even know, like, there have been two stories you said in the Marion Star about the auditor. So if you don't read the newspaper, you don't even know the auditor, really.
But does this look? Let's say you do. Does this look good for him? This look, this ad, this saying, or does it look bad? Does it look gloating, or does it look like, oh boy, we really do. We have an incompetent auditor. We need to get him in there.
I mean, I honestly don't see a benefit in him putting that in there, because, I mean, he's not up against the auditor. He's just taking a shot at the auditor, but it doesn't necessarily, like, it's not like people are going to be like, oh, yeah, he's right, the auditor's bad, I'm going to vote for him.
Well, that's up. I think what he's hoping. Pastor Greg, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, my sentiments are similar. I mean, I think it was a cheap shot. I don't think it was a kind of ad that really is that does him any worthwhile. If anything, it makes him look bad, because he's taking a shot at an office that he's not running for. It's a person he's not running against. I don't see what's really to be gained by it.
Bob?
I agree. It is a cheap shot that he didn't need to take, and I think it speaks to his character as well. And
you think it could cost him the election?
I don't.
Second ward has very few voters, but who knows with this election?
Well, I mean, his opposition would have to really rally behind it and get it out, get the vote out, and I don't think that's going to happen either. But it was a cheap shot he didn't need to take.
Eric?
It paints him as a curmudgeon, definitely. However, you're right, it was a cheap shot, but it was still a shot. And as the United States Marine Corps, finest fighting force on the face of the earth, likes to say, if you find yourself in a fair fight, you've done something wrong. He is out to win.
But he's taken a shot at, not at his opponent. He's taken a shot at the auditor.
Right.
So I guess my confusion...
He's a caged animal.
Right, but I guess my confusion in this ad is how would keeping one member of city council fix the auditor problem when she's been in there the entire time he's been in there, and the previous auditor has been in there the entire time he's been in there? It's not like he's been able to... He has sounded the alarm is the term that is used a lot.
Maybe he's just trying to take the attention off of him.
Well, yeah, but I mean, at some point, don't we have to say, I mean, how vicious are we going to get on the local level here?
Well, and I think it gets back down to if he wants
I mean,
to
what I don't want, listen, you know what? I'm taking those other radio station names, scratching them off here, because with a radio station like this, we can't have these people on here, so they both bite the way. That's what it's like.
You know, if he wants to talk experience, what was his experience handling Robert Landon? Who was calling for his resignation, you know, and who was pushing against him? You know, from what I understand, most city council was not.
The mayor did, just to be on record. The mayor did call for his resignation.
The mayor is not on city council. And, you know, most of the council people were supporting Landon and not speaking in opposition. And the same thing is true here. How many of the council is speaking, you know, for, and what's Ayers doing to help her out? I mean, granted, it's not his job, but if he's going to if he's leading by experience, then show some experience in helping her.
I guess, you know, the problem is, I think people who are down, and we know that city council listens to this show. Trust me, I know that after last week, which I'm glad they do. Thank you for listening. The problem is, they're on the inside. They're getting the notes. They're doing the public information requests. They know what's going on in their mind and opinion. General public who's seeing an ad like that doesn't. So we really got to look at perception here. Does it make him look good?
It makes him look like he's trying out for the big leagues. I mean, at this rate, he's going into the, I would say, federal government level, congressman, senator. He wants to be in the swamp.
He could have run for mayor and he didn't.
Yeah, he wants the swamp.
Yeah, and
he's acting like it.
And so the next time he's running for re-election, is he going to take a cheap shot at whoever wins for mayor because he doesn't like them?
Well, that's, you know. Well, does it look good, Matt?
I don't think so, no. I think that this situation makes him, I don't want to say childish, there's got to be a better word for it, but like attacking the auditor does, like I said, it just doesn't do anything to help anybody.
We've got about 8 minutes, and I want to touch on the auditor more in depth here because we've had a big week with her. But just on this particular ad, does it help? Not necessarily your opinion as far as is the ad a cheap shot or not. In the world of politics, where we are today, does it help or hurt his chances of winning? Yes or no?
I mean, yeah. I don't think
it helps. Does it help or hurt? I guess is what I'm saying here. Did it help him or did it hurt him?
I don't think it hurts him necessarily, but I don't know that it helps him either. Like
indifferent.
Yeah,
it's dead.
I don't think there's a net change.
Does it help or hurt, Bob?
I don't think it's going to convince anybody who is voting against him to change their vote. You know, so I would say it doesn't help or hurt him. I think it's just... it doesn't help him in the election, but I think it hurts him just as a character.
So people now have this character issue.
Yeah.
Eric?
I think it's going to help him because today's society has a tendency to elevate the people that pick on lesser vessels and the underdog.
Pastor?
If I wasn't paying to politics that much and didn't really know what was going on and I just saw that ad, it wouldn't make me want to vote for him.
Turn off.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so that's where we are with that. Now going to the auditor. She did her first interview, Miranda McGinnis, on this station last week. That became a pivotal interview as we went into Monday night city council meeting. They referenced it several times during the meeting. No more fines at this point, as of today, have been accrued by the city by this auditor. And the $200,000, just to be very clear, or $196,000, $197,000, whatever it is, did come under the Robert Landon administration. No fines have been accrued under... I think penalties have been a... Make sure how I say this. No fines from the IRS for not filing the medical forms have happened under her era as of yet. Now, some late fees and interest, because that hasn't been brought to people's attention. Yes, I think that has happened under Miranda McGinnis. But other than that, no. So, should she be taking the heat that she's taking? Should the mayor, two city councilmen, have asked for her resignation? Should she take a beating like Matt said she took in the city council meeting on Monday? Should the mayor have gotten on here on Tuesday morning and said the things he did about her? Should, there was another big point there I wanted to make in regard to her. Should she be taking the heat she's taking in the Marion Star and everywhere else right now? Apparently they're going to send a paper to a probate attorney to try to remove her. Not only are they asking for her to resign, which she's not going to do, apparently, as of Tuesday morning, I don't know if it's been done yet, but Ayers Ratliff, Mayor Schertzer, Jason Schauber, and Aaron Rollins have elected officials have all looked like, allegedly, they were going to sign the four-person document to try to get her removed. Okay, so should she be taking this kind of a beating in the last 7 days?
I don't know. I'm not there, so I don't know how much she's actually doing, like I said. So, maybe she's really not doing all that much, and they're right, but also at the same time, like I said, I'm not there. I don't know what she is and is not doing correctly, or if she's doing it.
Well, you went to city council. You heard their complaints. You heard the interview with her.
Yeah.
Do you think that she's not up to snuff?
I mean, she sounded like she knows what she was doing when, like, during the interview, but you can sound like you know what you're doing and then still not know what to do. But, like, also...
Well, I do that every day here.
Same here.
It's a way of life.
That's right.
So, like, I don't know, like, it just... The situation overall doesn't seem good for her. Like, I don't think she should be taking the beating for the sheer fact that she went into the auditor's job and it was already awful there.
Pastor?
Yeah, I don't think she should be taking the beating. I personally feel that before they, asked for her resignation at council and said they're going to do what they're going to do, I think it would have been helpful if maybe maybe her and the mayor and whoever on council is chairman of the finance committee, which I'm not sure which council member that is, but I think they should have worked hard at getting together the three of them and saying, look, we got a serious problem here. What can we do to fix it? And then if things didn't go any better, they still could pursue getting rid of her.
Eric?
I don't think she should be getting beat up like this. You should always take the high road. There's not much traffic up there. But this is politics, and by the very nature of that game, it attracts the lowest common denominator type folks. And she's up against some nastiness.
Bob?
The auditor position is an administrative position more than an accounting or actual auditing in numbers. And she should be acting like an administrator. And I think a proper administrator would have brought this to the attention of everybody at the time, and she would have, should have handled it, by informing everybody about the situation and looking for a solution.
But is asking for her resignation, trying to have her forcibly removed, really, I don't even know what the term is. Certainly calling her out in an open city council meeting.
These are the same people that appointed her. And so they knew what they were getting when they appointed her. And
the Republicans appointed her.
Well.
So Ayers Ratliff did not appoint her. Mayor Schertzer did not appoint her. And those are... And I don't think Rollins appointed her because even though he's a Republican, I don't think he was in office when that happened. So the three people who asked for a resignation were not on appointing her.
Also, they called for her resignation via the Marion Star.
Yeah, well, is that good?
Wow, what a coward's way out.
Well, yeah. Now listen, though, I've got...
It's a good thing they weren't...
I'm not the spokesperson for the mayor, or Ayers Ratliff, or Mr. Rollins, but I don't think they called the Marion Star and said resign. Yeah. I think the reporter called them and said, do you think she should resign? And they said yes.
So, coward by proxy.
But those same reporters didn't call and interview her, did they? She hasn't been interviewed by the Marion Star.
You know, that's an interesting thing you bring that up, because I don't know why that happened, and I guess I can't say 100% that it didn't happen, because maybe she turned him down. But I will say this, if it did happen and she did turn him down, they should have put a line in there and said, we contacted the auditor and she gave us no response.
What politician?
So shame on them if they didn't do it.
What politician turns down an interview?
Well, she is...
What politician running for office turns down an interview?
Well, she has no opponent. And it took her 2 years to come in here, and she did say, first question, why did it take 2 years? She said she's very nervous, she's skittish of the media. So I can't say for sure that the Star did not contact her, but shame on them if they didn't put the line in there.
If they contacted her and didn't hear back, they should say that.
Because when the whole Robert Landon thing was going on, it was a very similar situation. Robert Landon would not do an interview with anybody, but the Star... pretty much always put in there, if my memory serves correctly, we reached out to the auditor's office and heard nothing by the time of print. So why that didn't happen in these two occasions, and the resignation, she found out about the resignation sitting here that morning. It was in the paper at 5 o'clock that morning. She found out when I said, have you seen the Star this morning? She said no. She found out sitting here right before the interview. So, you know, something went wrong there. So, you know what? I can't say that she did hear it, that the Star did contact her on that one. As a matter of fact, I'd have to say they probably didn't.
No, something went very right. The opposition actually showed what they're made of.
I guess they did in that particular case. All right, I want to try this pizza. Did you try this?
I did not.
Well, you got to try it.
And while you're trying it,
you talk.
You know, it's available here if anybody wants it, although the time is getting limited. But it is not your run-of-the-mill pizza with pepperoni or tomato sauce or anything like that. It is pumpkin, baked and sauteed with and a couple different cheeses on there, Gruyere and Gouda. A little some pistachio nuts crushed and sprinkled, a little dried cranberry. I mean, so it's pizza because it's flat, but I don't think it should be called your typical pizza.
That's not bad at all. That's not bad. No, that's in the realm of the pumpkin pie pizza. I think the pumpkin pie pizza was a little less, this is not as sweet as the pumpkin pie pizza was. But this is good. Because we can give samples of this later. We'll be here later on tonight.
Yeah.
So you're going to leave this behind?
I'll leave it behind.
Okay. Now, what about the cookie pizza?
The cookie pizza. The cookie pizza's back there with the other one, but we can leave that behind.
We'll leave that behind. So tonight, listen, if you want to stop by, we'll be here 8 to 10. You can get a piece of this pizza. We'll keep it chilled for you. We'll keep it chilled. And
away from the mice.
Away from the mice, yeah. That's always a good thing. And the cookie will get to you as well, but I think... who's up next, Pastor Craig? Joe.
Yes, I'm having a guest on, Catherine Woods, and she's with an organization, does a program called Relationships Under Construction.
Oh, very nice.
In the high schools.
Sounds good. That's coming up next. We'll be back on tonight, 8:15 to 10 p.m. Bob, Eric, thank you so much for coming, as always.
Thank you.
And you'll be back day before Thanksgiving. Absolutely. Cranberry pizza's on its way from a can. Plop.
I'm sure it's not alligator.
Absolutely. For this day, Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
Not the Social Security Administration. Social Security will not threaten you, demand your personal information or instant payment, email or text you pictures or documents, or use a real government official's name to gain your trust. Social Security does not accept payments by gift card, prepaid debit card, internet currency, or by mailing cash. Criminals use these forms of payment because they are hard to trace. Do not be fooled. Hang up. Ignore them. Report this criminal activity to the Social Security Administration Office of the Inspector General at OIG.